దత్తాత్మనం శ్రీ మహాగణాధిపతయే నమః సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాన్ అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. ఓం అథాతో బ్రహ్మ జిజ్ఞాసా. తథా చ లోకే అనుభవ శుక్తికా హి రజతవత్ అవభాసతే ఏకశ్చంద్ర సద్వితీయవత్. సో అట్ దిస్ పాయింట్ ఐ వుడ్ లైక్ టు పాయింట్ అవుట్ టూ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ అధ్యాస. వన్ ఈజ్ నిరూపాధిక అధ్యాస అండ్ ది అదర్ ఈజ్ సోపాధిక అధ్యాస. అండ్ అధ్యాస which is having an upadhi, which is associated with an upadhi, and another adhyasa which has no upadhi. So first you should know what is upadhi. Upa samipe sthitva asya gunaha adhiyante iti upadhihi. So just by the fact of juxtaposition, the attributes of one are seemingly imputed to the other, are imparted to the other, seemingly, not really. So like the standard example is, the crystal appears as a ruby when it is sitting by the side of a flower, or when the flower is sitting by the side of the crystal appears like a ruby, means it appears red. That means it is as though acquired the redness. It did not acquire redness. It has as though acquired the redness. So this is now in this situation, the crystal which seems to acquire the attribute of the flower just by the fact of juxtaposition. So that is called upahita. Means something is imparted to it, seemingly upahita. So and the one which seems to impart its attribute to the other is called upadhi. And if you remove the upadhi, it means if you remove the flower from there, then it will look crystal only. It will not look like ruby. But as long as you may be knowing that it is crystal, but still it appears ruby, as long as the flower is sitting by the side. The flower is upadhi. Okay? That is the upadhi. Now, when you see the silver on the shell, there is no upadhi there. There is no other thing which is responsible for such a mistake except one's own ignorance. So there is no outside agency which is responsible for that such a mistake. It is called nirupadhika adhyasa. No upadhi there. If you take a pencil or a rod and put in water, it seems to be bent. It is not bent, but it appears to be bent. Suppose you drain the water out, then it doesn't appear to be bent. As long as water is there, in spite of your knowing that it is not bent, it appears bent. You remove the water, it won't appear as bent. The water is their upadhi. So, if you look at the stars, they seem small and they appear to be twinkling, and all of them seem to have a particular shape, that a starry shape. In fact, the stars do not twinkle, they are not small, they do not have the shape that we see. All this appears because of the upadhi of distance. Long distance is the upadhi there. So, like this, upadhi plays tricks. And so if you can manage to go nearer, a little nearer the stars, then the stars won't look like that. Some hypothetical thing I said. Anyway, so, here Shankara gave, Shuktika hi rajatavad avabhasate ekaschandra sadvitiyavat. In the case of ekaschandra, that is nirupadhika bhranti, the first one. The second one could be viewed as sopathika bhranti, because only when some water layer is interfering in the vision, like some water has a thin film of water is there in the eye, and now with that thin film of water in place, you look at this moon and it looks as though there are two moons. The plurality comes into the picture. Suppose you take a piece of cloth or some piece of paper towel and dry the eyes, and now you make the eyes perfect and look, it looks one. Therefore, so there is this upadhi associated with the vision, and that makes moon appear as though doubled. So sopadhika adhyasa, nirupadhika adhyasa, just I mentioned in a passing reference, because sometimes you hear those words, and what is this sopadhika and what is this nirupadhika, that kind of a doubt can come. It has a very important significance in the Vedantic terms. That also let me mention. Body is the upadhi for the Atma. You know, quite often we say this is the upadhi. How it became upadhi? Body and Atma, they are together. That is Viveka, you know. So don't worry about Advaita. Advaita is safe, is intact. So in this context we talk like that, the language of Viveka. So the Atma is reflecting in the body. So as the Atma reflects in the body, the size or the volume of the body is imputed to Atma. Atma is taken to be limited to the body. So I take the volume of the body as my own volume. Even why? You can see this. You inhale and exhale. And so the vayu, the air, is infinite. It is all pervading. Yet we consider the lung capacity, the vayu that is included in that lungs, that is separate from the vayu outside. Somehow we have such a notion. Don't worry about its practical implications and all that. The point is, the vayu in the lungs, is it isolated from the whole? No. But it seems to be isolated. So that is how the upadhi works. Now, suppose a person knows the truth, Atma Jnanam he gained. Now he is not limited by the volume of the body in space, and he is not limited by the movement of the memory in time. Memory is the movement in time, which is the product, which is the characteristic of the mind. So we have space limitation because of identification with the body, because of the upadhi of the body. And we have the sense of time limitation because of the memory aspect. Because mind is time, body is space. It is like that. Therefore, these two upadhis make us feel limited. Suppose I know the truth because I practice rigorous viveka, discernment, and then come to know my true nature, and I am not the body and I am not the mind. Then eventually, so what happens is, the person is unlimited, he is the Jivan Mukta, he is the Atma, but the body and mind continue. So the upadhis continue. As long as the upadhis continue, he appears to be a limited individual. In real terms, he is not the limited individual. But the upadhi continues. And the moment the upadhi falls, then that is the end of even the appearance. He is a Jivan Mukta. From his side, he is not a limited individual. He is the Purna Brahman. But from the onlooker's side, he is an individual because of the upadhi. So the appearance of an individual persists till the body falls. When the body falls, even that appearance is gone. That is because of the sopadhika bhranti, the bhranti or adhyasa. Therefore, this way, sopadhika brahma is very important to explain the continuing life of a Jivan Mukta. So that is the relevance. Having said all that, now we have covered the Lakshana Bhashyam, Adhyasa Lakshana Bhashyam we have covered. Now we are coming, and as part of that, Khyati Prakaranam, that also we have covered. Now we come to what is well known as Sambhavana Bhashyam. That means in the illustration, there are certain features which do not apply in toto to the topic under discussion. The topic is the Atma and Anatma, there is a confusion between the two. So, that is the Adhyasa, Anatma, that is how we started also in the beginning. Atma is taken as the Vishayi, and Anatma is the Vishaya, and there should not be any Adhyasa between the two, from this side to that side or vice versa, but there is Adhyasa on both sides. So, this Adhyasa is not possible, because it is logically impossible. Like that we started. But again, after discussing the relevance of Adhyasa in the human experience, so while applying this Adhyasa situation between Atma and Anatma, a few problems arise. And in fact, the Paropakshi once again says, after understanding the Adhyasa thoroughly, we now once again reiterate that Adhyasa is not applicable, cannot happen between Atma and Anatma. Asambhava it is. Then Shankara says, it is possible. And it is there. You have to understand the motive behind the two arguments. He is saying that there is no Adhyasa between Atma and Anatma. Why the person is, why he is strong on that point? You know why? He wants to prove that the limitation that of the Atma that we experience is real. That is what he wants to prove. So, as Atma, I feel limited and that is real. Nothing Adhyasa about it. And therefore, I am different from Ishvara. The duality will be established. That is why the dualist, he doesn't want Adhyasa to be validated. Whereas on the side of the Shankara, he wants to prove that our experience is an Adhyasa. It is not based on reality. The experience is not real. It is an Adhyasa experience. And therefore, once you know that the experience of limitation is caused by Adhyasa, and now Adhyasa is mixed up, Aviveka. Adhyasa is caused by Aviveka. Now you just follow the opposite. That means practice Viveka. And that is called Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga means yoga is the means, upaya. Sankhya means Viveka Jnana. Just you hold on to that word. Sankhya means Viveka Jnana. If you simply say Sankhya is Jnana, then you are not categorical and it leads to confusion. You say Sankhya is Viveka Jnana. So, Atma Jnana is not a yoga. I mean, in the sense the word yoga is used. It is not a yoga. Yoga means upayaha. It is the means. Atmajnana is not the means. Atmajnana is the ultimate goal. And yoga means it's a means. So now you have two yogas, very well known thing. Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga. Nobody mistakes Karma Yoga as the jnana. Because karma is clearly distinct from jnana. But there is a possibility of mistaking the word Sankhya to be jnana. Sankhya is not Atmajnanam. That Sarvatma Bhava, that is not Sankhya. We don't use that word in that sense, in this context. Sankhya means Vivek, because Sankhya is a yoga. It is a means. Atmajnana is not the means. So, it's a means, what is the means to gain Atmajnana? Atmajnana means Sarvatma Bhava, Moksha, Jivan Mukti. So, what is the means for it? Sankhya Yoga. Therefore, Sankhya is not Sarvatma Bhava. Sankhya is jnana of course, but a jnana of very particular kind. It is the viveka jnana. That is Sankhya. What viveka? Of every kind. Three kinds of viveka is there. Sadasad viveka, nityanitya vastu viveka, atmanatma viveka. Basic vivekas. So this viveka is one of the four qualifications for a seeker. So, Sankhya Yoga. So, why I said all that? Because you need Sankhya Yoga because there is Adhyasa. If there is no Adhyasa, then you don't need Sankhya Yoga at all. That kind of Viveka you don't need. So, this is how Shankara needs to validate Adhyasa. He needs to establish Adhyasa. Then only he has a case to build up. Otherwise, he need not write Bhashya and Brahma Sutras. So the stay will apply. Don't write Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, that stay will apply. So there is a need for Viveka because there is Adhyasa. Now comes on that basis, now he is writing what is called సంభావనా భాష్యం మీన్స్ అధ్యాస సంభవతి ఇట్ ఈస్ దేర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ దేర్ సంభావనా భాష్యం నాట్ ఓన్లీ అధ్యాస బిట్వీన్ శుక్తి అండ్ రజత ఇస్ దేర్ బట్ ఆల్సో అధ్యాస బిట్వీన్ ఆత్మ అండ్ అనాత్మ ఈస్ దేర్ శుక్తి రజత అధ్యాస డిస్కషన్ ఈస్ జస్ట్ దేర్ టు ఫెమిలియరైజ్ ది థింగ్ ఫర్ అస్ అండ్ హ్యావింగ్ అండర్స్టూడ్ శుక్తి రజత అండ్ ఆల్సో అండర్స్టూడ్ వేరియస్ కంటెన్షన్స్ అబౌట్ ది అధ్యాస అండ్ అరైవ్డ్ ఎట్ ఏ కన్సెన్సస్ అబౌట్ అధ్యాస లీవింగ్ అసైడ్ ఆల్ ది డిఫరెన్సెస్ అండ్ ఆల్ దాట్ సో పీపుల్ డిఫర్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ ఏరియాస్ బట్ దేర్ ఈస్ ఎ కన్సెన్సస్ సర్వథాపి దట్ ఈస్ కన్సెన్సస్ సర్వథాపి మీన్స్ కన్సెన్సస్ సో ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ ఇన్ స్పైట్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ డిఫరెన్సెస్ వీ అగ్రీ ఆన్ వన్ పాయింట్ వాట్ ఈస్ దట్ అధ్యాస ఈజ్ అన్యస్య అన్యధర్మావభాసత దట్ ఈస్ అధ్యాస ఇన్ దట్ పాయింట్ దేర్ ఈస్ నో డిసగ్రిమెంట్ సో థ్యాంక్ గాడ్ దట్ ఈస్ గుడ్ ఇనఫ్ టు ప్రొసీడ్ ఓకే వేర్ డూ యూ ప్రొసీడ్ ఆత్మ అనాత్మ అధ్యాస సో దిస్ అన్యస్య అన్యధర్మావభాసత ఇట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ వెన్ దిస్ అన్య అండ్ దట్ అన్య బోతార్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ బోతార్ విషయ వెరాస్ ఇన్ ది కేస్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ అనాత్మ వన్ ఇస్ విషయ అండ్ ది అదర్ ఇస్ నాట్ విషయ ఇట్ ఈస్ విషయీ బట్ నాట్ విషయ సో దేర్ఫోర్ దెర్ ఈస్ అగైన్ ఏ పూర్వపక్ష క్లెయిమింగ్ దట్ అధ్యాస ఇస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్ బిట్వీన్ ఆత్మ అండ్ అనాత్మ ఇట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ అవుట్ సైడ్ బట్ నాట్ ఇన్సైడ్ అండ్ అవుట్ సైడ్ ఆత్మ ఇస్ ఇన్ అండ్ అనాత్మ ఇస్ అవుట్ బిట్వీన్ ఇన్ అండ్ అవుట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్ బిట్వీన్ అవుట్ అండ్ అవుట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ సో దట్ ఈస్ ది పూర్వపక్ష యుఎస్ఏ కథం పునః ప్రత్యగాత్మని అవిషయే అధ్యాస విషయతద్ధర్మాణం ప్రత్యగాత్మని దిస్ ఇస్ వన్ వర్డ్ విచ్ యు ఆల్ షుడ్ నో యు మస్ట్ హవ్ నోన్ ఆల్సో బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కస్టమరీ టు ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ ఇట్ సో కీపింగ్ ఎ ఫ్యూ న్యూ కమర్స్ ఇన్ మైండ్ సో ఎనీవే ఇట్స్ ఎ వెరీ సింపుల్ థింగ్ ఇట్ ది వర్డ్ ప్రత్యక్ మీన్స్ ఇన్నర్ మోస్ట్ వై డూ యూ సే ఇన్నర్ మోస్ట్ సపోజ్ యు ఆర్ ఆన్ ది సర్ఫేస్ అండ్ నౌ యూ ఇన్వెస్టిగేట్ అండ్ గో డీపర్ అండ్ డీపర్ అండ్ డీపర్ అండ్ అల్టిమేట్లీ అరైవ్ ఎట్ ఎ పాయింట్ వేర్ యూ కెనాట్ గో ఎనీ ఫర్దర్ ఓర్ యూ నీడ్ నాట్ గో ఎనీ ఫర్దర్ వాట్ నేమ్ యూ విల్ గివ్ టు దాట్ ఇన్నర్ మోస్ట్ సపోజ్ యూ ఆర్ డైవింగ్ ఇన్ ది ఓషన్ యూ హ్యావ్ డైవ్డ్ అండ్ డైవ్డ్ అండ్ డైవ్డ్ విత్ దట్ ఎక్విప్మెంట్ యూ కెనాట్ డైవ్ ఎనీ ఫర్దర్ ఆర్ on that in that sea in that patch of sea you have reached already the bed and so you need not dive in you cannot dive any further then what name you give to it innermost in that sense the word pratyak is used pratipam anchati anchati means gachati anch is the dhatu anch gati పూజాయాం గతి పూజ టూ మీనింగ్స్ ఇట్ హ్యాస్ గాట్ పూజ యూ ఫర్గెట్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ది మీనింగ్ హియర్ గతి సో ప్రతీపం గచ్చతి ప్రతీపం మీన్స్ బ్యాక్వర్డ్స్ సో యూ మూవ్ బ్యాక్వర్డ్స్ హియర్ బ్యాక్వర్డ్స్ మీన్స్ మూవ్ ఇన్ లుక్ విత్ ఇన్ సెర్చ్ విత్ ఇన్ దట్ ఈస్ ఇన్స్టెడ్ యూ సీ మూవింగ్ అవుట్వర్డ్ మూవింగ్ ఇన్వర్డ్ దిస్ ఈస్ ది వేదాంతిక్ టెర్మినాలజీ బహిర్దృష్టి అంతర్దృష్టి that is the terminology bahir drishti means you focus your attention of the mind on the outside and you want to investigate the nature of the things that are there in the outside that is bahir drishti ye kya hai wo kya hai that is bahir drishti then antar drishti what am I that is antar drishti what am I obviously I am the body mind I am this person weighing 160 pounds, I am this person. That is the very surface meaning of the word I. But if that is everything, then there is no Vedanta. You have to investigate further. What am I? So I look into my, that sense of I, I investigated further. So in this investigation, you are not throwing yourself out. It is called vikshepa. Throwing oneself out. Vividham kshepaha. Kshepa means throwing out. So, you look this side, then you look that side. That means what? You are throwing out yourself. When you look this side, you went there. Right? You went there and came back. Then you look this side, that side. Means what? You are throwing you out all over the place. Now don't do that. Stop it. Then look within. Search within. That is what is called pratipam gacchati. When you travel like that, this is antardrishti, you arrive at reality about yourself. That is I am. That I am, the origin of that I am. So, you go backwards. So, I am is the last point. Kosha Viveka. Swarnamaya Kosha, reject it. Viveka means keep it aside. Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha, Anandamaya Kosha. You go there. Then I am not the karta, you have rejected Vijnanamaya Kosha identification. I am not the bhokta, you have rejected the identification with Anandamaya Kosha. Then if I am not the karta and bhokta also, bhokta is the ego. If I am not the ego also, then what am I? There is no answer. I am. If you want an answer, then you can add, I am what I am. That is same as I am only. So that I am. Then what is Pratyagatma? I am is not Pratyagatma. I am is the reflection of the Pratyagatma in the body-mind. Or you can say in the mind. Body is very superficial, you know, very much outside. So very gross, outside in the sense gross. We have put it aside even in the very first step, neti. Very first neti, body is gone. So that I am. So I can put it like this, if you don't mind, I will put it, I am that by which I know that I am. So you cannot say anything more than that. So I am is an experience which is there with us. It is the primary fact of I as a person. Primary fact. Everything is later to it. I am a professor, I am this, I am that. Everything is later. These are all expressions of the body, mind and body. I am a professor, it is an expression of mind. I am fat or I am thin, this is expression of body. I am husband or I am father, this is expression of body-mind. Thoda idhar, thoda udhar. So it is expression of body-mind. So these are all expressions. Don't bother about all those expressions. Even doership is an expression of the body-mind. Enjoyership is also an expression. So reject all those expressions and just stand divested of all these expressions. This is called Digambara. Shiva is Digambara, they say, you know. Digambara means what? So this is what it is. Shiva is Atma. Chidananda Rupa Shivoham Shivoham. So you become Shiva when you stand like Shiva. Shiva stands Digambara. Means no definitions. No self-identifications. So just reject every possible self-identification and stand utterly undefined. That is the primary fact of I. That is I am. That is not Atma. This I am is the reflection of Atma. Now what name you give to the Atma? So you go back and back and back and back. 5 koshas are rejected. Pratipam, anchu, anchati, gacchati. And then you have reached a point where you can say something about Atma. So that is Pratyagatma. That is the Atma. And that Atma there, and that is Avishaye. It is not an object of any means of knowledge. So, a human being is endowed, basically endowed with perception and inference. Just take it like that. This inference can be blown up into 2, 3, 4. Essentially, perception and inference. That means what? Sense organs and mind put together, you know, that is perception. Keep the sense organs away for a while and just use the mind alone. Just you work out with the mind alone for a while and then come out with a conclusion. Of course the perception is the basis for that also, but at that point of concluding you are not taking the sense organs into account. So in fact you may even close the eyes and do like this. only mind is working, and now you reach a conclusion. So these are the two pramanas. What else is there? So these two means of cognition, they fail to objectify Atma. Therefore, means Atma is not an object of these two means of cognition, and hence Atma is avishaya. It is not vishaya. So that in that, on that Atma, now you say there is a superimposition, adhyasaha, of what? Of vishaya. Body is vishaya. It is an object of perception. And so, the vishaya is the body, vishaya is object. So vishaya is superimposed on Atma. And tad dharmanam, the expressions of the body, the attributes of the body are superimposed on Atma. That is what your contention is. Atma is originally, it is wonderful, it is Brahma only, but because of superimposition it is happening. We say that superimposition is not possible, because one is vishaya and the other is not vishaya. Whereas in the case of Shukti Rajata, both are vishaya. In fact, here the vyapti is like this. Now I am introducing the word vyapti. Vyapti means invariable concomitance. So you should first establish vyapti, invariable concomitance. Then only you can take a conclusion out of it. I tell you how. This is standard example. So Parvato Vanniman Dhumat. So there is fire on the mountain. That mountain is billowing, like in Hawaii, Jwalamukhi. So it is billowing smoke. Therefore you assume that there is fire inside. Why should you assume like that? Because there is what is called Vyapti Jnanam. So Vyapti is there. Vyapti means invariable concomitance. Concomitance means they coexist. And that coexistence is universal. They always coexist. That is called invariable concomitance. That is Vyapti Jnanam. So what is the Vyapti Jnanam? Yatra yatra dhumaha tatra tatra vandhihi. That is the Vyapti Jnanam, not the other side. Yatra yatra vandhis tatra tatra dhumaha wrong. It is not Vyapti Jnanam. You may have an iron ball, red hot iron ball, without any smoke. But yatra yatra dhumaha tatra tatra vandhihi. Please don't bring an example which defeats the Vyapti Jnanam. I am just handling an example, so you have, I know you have a lot of scientific background and all that, so you can always come out with an example to say that the Vyapti Jnanam is not right. I appreciate all that, but for the present, take the Vyapti Jnanam, because I am interested in telling something else. So the illustration you should not reject, you should not oppose, because some illustration is given. So yatra yatra dhumaha tatra tatra vandhihi. Wherever you find smoke, there is invariably, that is the invariable concomitance, invariably there is fire. This knowledge you have, this is Vyapti Jnanam, that is the given, it is there with you. Suppose it is not there, then you cannot conclude when you see the smoke on the mountain peak. This Vyapti Jnanam is sitting with you. You have acquired it, this knowledge you have acquired by visiting the kitchen many times. Mahanasa. Mahanasa is the kitchen. This is the jnana, knowledge he has acquired. And this jnanam is in his mind. Now he saw the fire, the smoke. Immediately, the Vyapti Jnanam focuses. It flashes and apply it. Now, an infer fire. See smoke, infer fire. This is how Vyapti Jnanam works. Now, Shukti Rajata. Shukti Rajata example you take and study that example, Shukti Rajata, Sarpa, Rajju Sarpa, such examples we study, and after having studied these examples, so we now come out with a Vyapti Jnanam. You know what is the Vyapti Jnanam? Yatra Indriya Sanyuktatvam Vishayatvancha Tatra Adhyasaha. That is the Vyapti Jnanam. Means, where the object must be in object must come into contact with the sense organ, Indriya Sanyuktatvam. Coming into contact means, when in the case of eyesight, the object must fall within the range of eyesight. Eyesight, let us take, other sense organs, doesn't matter. In the case of taste buds, the blessed thing should come and sit on the taste buds. Then only the contact happens. It is anywhere near, doesn't matter. It should come and sit on the taste buds. Whereas in the case of eyesight, it is enough that it falls within the range. That is Indriya Sanyuktatvam. So this is also called Sannikarsha occasion. Sometimes they use that word. So there is a contact between the object and the sense organ. That is one condition. Vishayatvam. The thing must be an object of the mind, of the cognition or inference. Vishayatvam. Indriya Sanyuktatvam, Vishayatvam. So both are one and the same. Indriya, only Vishaya is Indriya Sanyukta. Just to make the Purvapaksha strong and to eliminate any possibility of Adhyasa on Atma, he uses that language. The Purvapaksha, you know, because Atma is neither Indriya Sanyukta nor Vishaya. It is not coming into contact with any Indriya. You cannot see Atma, you cannot hear Atma, you cannot taste Atma, you cannot smell it, you cannot touch it. Over. Khatam. And if you take the word Indriya to mean Manaha also, that can be done. So they do that. If Indriya is Antar Indriya, which is mind, then you cannot think of Atma. Over. It cannot be an object of any given thought. Over. Therefore, when you establish this Vyapti, understand this, take this Vyapti as real, as correct, then you are really blocking the possibility of Adhyasa in the case of Atma. Therefore, Indriya Sanyuktatvam Vishayatvancha Yatra Vartate Tatraiva Adhyasaha. Like Shukti. Shukti is not Indriya Sanyukta, but Idam is Indriya Sanyuktatvam is there, that Idam. He says, this is silver, that this is Indriya Sanyukta, that is the beginning of Adhyasa. The process, the mechanism of Adhyasa begins with Indriya Sanyuktatva. And the thing that is superimposed, it need not be Indriya Sanyukta, but it must be Vishaya. That is the reason why he uses both words. So this is Indriya Sanyukta, and the silver is Vishaya. In the case of Atma, it is neither Indriya Sanyukta nor Vishaya. That means it cannot be the beginning of an Adhyasa, and also the Adhyasa may begin with Anatma, but Atma is not available as a thing to be superimposed. So Indriya Sanyuktatvam, when you say Atmane Anatma Adhyasaha, is rejected. Vishayatvam, when you say Anatmane Atmanaha Adhyasaha, rejected. Because Atma is not Vishaya. Okay? Atma is not Indriya Sanyukta, therefore Atmane Anatma Adhyasaha is not possible. Like that, Adhyasa is not possible based on that Vyapti. So only when there is Indriya Sanyuktatvam and Vishayatvam, Adhyasa becomes possible. Both these qualities are absent in Atma. So, katham Adhyasa, how it will be possible? The Purvapaksha is further explained. Sarvo hi purovasthite vishaye vishayantaramadhyasyati. You see, he means because. He, wherever you comes, because. Yasmat, because. Adhyasa is not possible, because. Sarvaha, every human being, every person, puraha avasthite vishaye vishayantaram adhyasyati. Puraha avasthite, right in front. That is the Indriya Sanyuktatvam. That is how the Adhyasa mechanism begins. There is something right in front of you. So that is puravasthite vishaye. And then vishayantaram. What is superimposed is not right in front. Need not be also. But it is an object. Some object which you have experienced earlier. Vishayantaram adhyasyati. This is how you find Adhyasa in all people's lives, in all circumstances. And so, Atma cannot satisfy these conditions. Therefore, there is no Adhyasa. That he is just saying. Yashmatratyayapetasya cha pratyagatmanaha avishayatvam bravishi vishayatvam bravishi. So up to that it is Purvapaksha. Bravishi, a kind of language of some resentment. You talk like that. You say Atma is Avishaya. For us, we are ready to put any condition on Atma. Because for us, Atma is limited, it is papi, it is this small, it is... you can talk of anything about Atma. We don't have any problem. But for you, Atma is a sacrosanct. You say it is Avishaya. Atma is Avishaya. It is not an object of mind or indriyas. Avishayatvam bravishi. You say. So how can you talk like that? While saying Atma is Avishaya, Yashmat Pratyaya Apetasya. You see, Yashmadasmat Shabda, like that we started, Yashmadasmat Pratyaya Gochara Yoham. So we were using the word Yashmat to make the distinction very clear. That means it is diametrically opposite to Aham. And so that means it is the possibility of Atma becoming any time idam is ruled out. Yashmat Pratyaya Apetasya. It is neither Yashmat nor Pratyaya. Pratyaya means Pratiyate iti Pratyaya. Something which is cognized is called Pratyaya. So Apetasya. Apetasya means it is removed from that category. It is altogether removed from the category of Pratyaya. In the sense that it is not something which appears, which is cognized, it is not a thing of cognition, object of cognition, and it is just not possible to have the sense of idam with reference to Atma. Therefore, when he said Yushmat Pratyaya Apetasya, both kinds of adhyas are ruled out. Unless it appears as idam, it cannot be the basis for adhyasa. Anatma cannot be superimposed on it, no possibility. Unless it becomes a pratyaya, means pratiyate iti pratyaya, something which is an object of cognition, it cannot be superimposed on anatma. Therefore, atmane anatmanaha, anatmane atmanascha adhyasaha asambhava eva. It is just not possible. Because atma is a yushmat pratyaya apetasya. It is eliminated from the categories of yushmat and pratyaya. And the Atma that we are talking here is not the body identified pseudo Atma. You see, once you identify the Atma with the body and take the body as Atma, then it is no more avishaya. Therefore, not that kind of Atma we are talking. Pratyagatmanaha. The Pratyagatma is Yushmat Pratyaya Apeta. Therefore, the Pratyagatma cannot be the candidate for Adhyasa. And you claim it all the time. Avishayatvam Bravishi. Atma is Pratyagatma. It is not available for cognition. One way or the other, you claim it like that. And therefore, how can you say Adhyasa? You see, how do you, Bravishi he means, you know, what he means by Bravishi? Na chakshusha grihyate, like that they say. So, na chakshusha grihyate, it is not objectified by the eyesight. And you say, ashabdam asparsham arupam avyayam tadharasam nityam agandhavat chayate, you say that. So, while saying like that, idam pratyaya anarha, pratyagatma, is not a candidate for the cognition, this cognition. And you go on quoting verse after verse and then say it is avishaya. Therefore now you want adhyasa. You want adhyasa. Lobha it is called. Adhyasa lobhena. So now you have some enticement for adhyasa. You want adhyasa. Therefore, just to secure what you want, you have to make a small agreement. That means you come down from your high pedestal and say that Atma can occasionally be Vishaya. If you do that, then you are just putting aside your own Siddhanta. That is not the right thing for a Darshanika to do. So you are pushed into a corner. Therefore, adhyasa is not possible. Okay, uchyate. This is siddhanta. Uchyate means atmane adhyasa sambhavanam pratijanite. So this siddhanti proclaims that adhyasa is possible. It is possible. It is. You know, an atma. Of course, atma is not avishaya. Atma is not even idam pratyaya araha. But adhyasa is possible. He proclaims. Having proclaimed, he will explain how it is possible. So what he has to do, you know, the siddhanti, what he has to do, you know, he has to reorganize the vyapti. First he has to attack the vyapti itself. Keeping the, you cannot keep the vyapti intact. The vyapti is put together in a very superficial way. That is not the correct vyapti. Then what is the correct vyapti? You see, the correct vyapti is like this. What a vision these people, I tell you. My God. You need to appreciate what he says. You require a lot of effort and study. So, you see, there is one cognition. He really, the adhyasa vyapti, he really delineates it, unravels it, and puts the bare minimum as the vyapti. That is how the logic should go. The logic should not have unnecessary attributes and words attached to it, which are not universally true. Just the bare minimum you should have for the logic. That is how vyapti jnanam has to be established. He says a marvelous stroke. The adhyasa becomes possible under the condition is, that condition becomes vyapti. Two things, one is superimposed upon and the other is the thing that is superimposed. So these two things must appear, must be part of one cognition, that is it. Eka jnana. So he sees that thing he sees, that is idam jnanam. And then the memory supplies silver, that silver jnanam. Now you think about it, when he mistakes this shukti for silver, this mistake, is it mistaken cognition? Is it one cognition or two cognitions? It is one cognition. Eka jnana, it is one cognition. And in that one cognition, it's a unitary process. It's in that one cognition, the idam is there and the rajata is also there. Therefore, you should have two things in one cognition. That is the vyapti for adhyasa, not indriya sanyuktatvam and all that. How that cognition, in the case of shukti rajata, of course, when he sees shukti, when he sees idam, that is indriya sanyukta and vishaya, and the rajata that has flashed simultaneously from memory, so that is not indriya sanyukta. It need not be indriya sanyukta. It cannot be. If it is also indriya sanyukta, then it is not adhyasa. So that is, earlier it was indriya sanyukta, but it is vishaya. In that case it was like that. Therefore, you have unnecessarily expanded the vyapti to a very specific case. That kind of expansion is unnecessary. Therefore, there was a single cognition in which idam jnana and rajata jnana from two different sources have coalesced. And that is adhyasa. Now we look at atma and anatma. Now it is a different picture altogether. So the vachyam is, adhisthana aropya yoha ekasmin jnane bhasamanatva matram adhyasa vyapakam. So, you see, in the case of shukti rajata, these words I did not introduce earlier. Now I am introducing. The shukti is called adhisthana. What is there is called adhisthana. Because the word is very significant. Adhistha. It provides the locus for the mistake. That is the adhisthana. Adhisthana is the locus for mistake. There is another thing. Suppose I am sitting in here. This is the locus. Not for mistake, locus for sitting. This is called adhara. Okay? Whereas adhisthana, you cannot use the adhara word there because nothing is sitting over the other. It is not locus for sitting. It is locus for mistake. And therefore we have a special word for it. That is adhisthana. And the word is very significant in that adhi means upari, shtha baitna. So this rajata, it sits on the shukti as though. It is as though rajata is sitting on the shukti. Now shukti you don't see, only rajata you see. And you eliminate rajata, you remove rajata. How do you remove? Rajata is kalpita, and therefore ajnana. If it is real rajata, how can you remove? Real rajata cannot be removed, you know. So ajnana kalpita rajata, therefore jnana. Put a battery light on and understand it correctly, rajata is gone. So rajata going away, removal of rajata and recognition of shukti, they happen simultaneously. Therefore, it is the rajata which is as though sitting there, tishthati, tishthati. Kaha? Adhi. Therefore, upari tishthati. So, that basis, that locus which provides the locus for a mistaken superimposition, that is called adhisthanam. Therefore, shukti is the adhisthanam, rajata is the aropyamana, or simply aropya. Aropyamana is aropya. So, adhisthana aropyayo, the one which is superimposed. Therefore, now you don't say indriya sanyuktatvam vishayatvam, drop all those things. Just adhyasa vyapti is ekasmin jnane adhisthana aropyayo bhasamanatvam. That is adhyasa vyapti. One cognition has two aspects in it, two elements in it. One is adhisthana and the other is aropya. Both are in part of the one cognition. If both are parts, both are in two separate cognitions, it is called viveka. It is not called adhyasa. That is the mix-up, my God. Very nice way of understanding the word mix-up. That is the mix-up. So viveka means adhisthana jnana is different, is one cognition. Aropyamana jnana is another cognition. Both cognitions are distinct. There is no adhyasa. You mix up. Both cognitions have now become a unitary cognition. That is adhyasa. That is all. Now, you come back to atma, anatma, adhyasa. This condition will satisfy. You see how it is, I tell you. You have the experience I. Right? This I is what? I is a form of pratyagatma only. Pratyagatmanaha adhyasitam rupam is I cognition. You see, I tell you how. You wake up. You become alert. That is the first step. The identification happens so instantaneously that we fail to see the process that is happening. When you wake up, so the alertness happens, means chetana, alertness. Alertness comes. And then that alertness now becomes I am. And then that I am becomes the body. That is the process. The alertness is atma, and the alertness becoming personalized as I am is adhyasa, adhyasitam rupam. Now, this I sense is available or not? It is there. I sense is there. Here you have to carefully follow it. I sense is there. Then I sense is already available as a cognition. I cognition is there. Then comes body cognition. If the distinction is maintained, in fact I cognition comes first. Body cognition comes later when you wake up. If you can maintain space between them, there is no adhyasa. But the adhyasa, the superimposition happens so instantaneously that you don't even see any sequence there. first I, then body, that kind of a sequence itself is misread. So you just appreciate that sequence. So the eye cognition is there, then the body cognition is also there. If there are two different cognitions, it is viveka. But now they are mixed up. Now you have I am the body. Okay? That is adhyasa. There is a small catch here. The catch is, the eye cognition itself is a product of adhyasa. Okay? So to have adhyasa between atma and deha, you need eye cognition. And to have eye cognition, you need adhyasa. This is anyonyashreya, mutual dependence. You followed this anyonyashreya, like halantyam in vyakaranam. To need itsaujna, you need halantyam. And to understand halantyam, you need itsaujna. That is the anyonyashreya. Anyway, that is meant for only 2-3 students of vyakarana, don't bother. So here you need I and then body. So both are mixed up in a single cognition in the form of I am the body. But I itself is not Atma. It's not that I is Atma, body is Anatma, therefore Adhyasa. You cannot say like that. I is not Atma. I itself is Adhyasitam Rupam Atmanaha. I itself is the outcome of Adhyasa. So I is available. You got up in the morning, eye is available or not? Available. And body is available. Both are in the same cognition. Adhyasa happened. Why do you worry? What is your problem? No. How I came? I came because of adhyasa. Now don't talk of adhyasa now. How, you tell me how I came without bringing in adhyasa. No, not like that. You see, I came because of adhyasa. And that adhyasa was there yesterday. Yesterday's adhyasa is responsible for today's I. And this I is getting superimposed with the body. Okay, yesterday's adhyasa you first established. So, you know the answer. We accept an infinite regression. In the case of ajnana, we accept an infinite regression. Therefore, I of today morning, which is needed for adhyasa, is, for today's adhyasa, I is needed. And that adhyasa, that I is a product of yesterday's adhyasa. Yesterday I slept, that adhyasa was there, and I wake up, therefore, the adhyasitam rupam, I slept as an adhyasita rupa I. And so the same adhyasita rupa wakes up. Therefore you have to say, the I itself is a product of adhyasa, and that is yesterday's adhyasa. Okay, yesterday's I is a product of adhyasa. So before that adhyasa, what was it? Again I. Then before that adhyasa, what was it? You go back. You cannot reach a point. Therefore, a beginningless samskara pravaha, that is the naisargika oyam loka vyavaharaha. A beginningless samskara pravaha is there, that makes adhyasa possible. Therefore, there is no first adhyasa like that. So, that's why ajnana is beginningless. So, this is how we accept it. I have told in a general way, we will build upon that. So, Shankara says that Atma is not available. If it is available in a cognition, then it becomes the basis for adhyasa, that is the purupaksha. Then Shankara is answering it. Who said Atma is not available? Atma is available. He is saying that. Natavadayam ekantena avishayaha asmatratyaya visayatvat aparokshatvacha pratyagatma prasiddhe. You see, to have adhyasa, it is not necessary that the adhisthana and aropya are both pratyaksha. In the case of Shukti Rajata, both happen to be pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means objects of cognition. You can the things that are perceived. Shukti is perceived. Rajata is also perceived. If not now, sometime else, sometime elsewhere. So both are pratyaksha. Therefore, there is adhyasa. Based on that, you do not jump to the conclusion pratyakshatvam adhyasa vyapi, adhyasa vyapakatvam. Don't come jump to that conclusion. In that case, it is like that. It is not necessary. So then you told that adhyasa is made possible by adhisthana aropyamanayoho ekasmin jnane bhasamanatvam. That is what you told. Okay, so one cognition should capture both the things. Then only adhyasa will happen. So now you mean to say atma is captured in a particular cognition? Yes. That is what is happening. How it is happening? So that is Shankara. I am ekan. Atma is not pratyaksha. That means you mean to say atma is pratyaksha? No. They are not saying atma is pratyaksha. Then what is atma? Aparoksha. You see, the objection is like this. Shukti pratyaksha. Rajata pratyaksha. Pratyaksha pratyakshasya adhyasaha. But atma is not pratyaksha. And deha is pratyaksha. How can there be adhyasa? That is the objection. Then the reply is, atma is not pratyaksha, agreed. But atma is not paroksha also. If atma is atyanta paroksha, then you cannot have adhyasa. Like, you cannot have adhyasa of something on swargam. Because swargam is atyanta paroksham. So mistaking swargam for something else, etc. doesn't happen. Because atyanta paroksha. But therefore, atma is not pratyaksha, agreed. But it is not even paroksha. It is the parokshatvam which eliminates the possibility of adhyasa, really speaking. Atma is not paroksha. It is not paroksha. It is aparoksha. Aparokshatvacha pratyagatma prasiddhehe. So, pratyagatma prasiddhi. Prasiddhi means all human beings, they have the sense of I. And the source of that sense of I is the Atma. Therefore, pratyagatma has another derivation. So, prati anchati. Prati shariram anchati prakashate iti pratyagatma. Pratyak. Prati anchati is pratyak. Prati shariram anchati. So in every living being, the Atma is shining. I tell you how. You need the expression of Atma in a cognition. You don't need the entire Atma in the cognition, which is not possible. You need an expression of Atma or a reflection of Atma in a cognition. And in that same cognition, body is captured or is encased. That is enough situation for adhyasa. Now, you see, Atma has three expressions. Satyam, Sat, Chit, Ananda. Now, I tell you, suppose you take a piece of stone. Atma is sarvavyapaka. Sarvavyapaka. You cannot say Atma is not there in a piece of stone. Atma is sarvavyapakam. But in the piece of stone, the chit and ananda of Atma, those expressions are absent. But sat is there. This piece of stone, asti, tataha, asti. That isness is Atma. So only one aspect of Atma expresses in the stone. Then you take the thought. Or even you take I is a thought. So when you take an I thought, in this I thought, Atma's chit is not completely captured in the sense Atma is sarvajna, it is the source of all knowledge. That aspect is not captured. But this sat aspect is captured. And the jnatvam is captured too. If not the sarva aspect is not captured, the jnatvam means the limited chitvam is captured, but sat is captured. I exist. Sat is reflecting in that cognition. Ananda is not reflecting. Chit is not reflecting completely, so much so that I don't take myself the Atma Sarvajna, but Sat is reflecting. Therefore, the cognition I, it has captured the expressions of Atma. So, that's why, suppose I ask you, are you a Jnani? You will say no. In fact, Aham Ajnaha is there. Aham Ajnaha, I am ignorant. This is our belief, I am ignorant. Then Aham Dukhi, this is also there. When you say Aham Ajnaha, you are going against the basic truth of Atma. When you say Aham Dukhi, you are going against the basic truth of Atma. You have not understood Atma as Ananda. And when you say Aham Ajnaha, you have not understood Atma as the source of all knowledge. But when you say Aham Asmi, then what is it? Aham Asmi, that is great. Because there is no opposition. If somebody says, like he says, Aham Dukhi, Aham Ajnaha, Aham Nasmi, Nahamasmi. Because Dukhi means Aham Na Anandi. That is the meaning of Aham Dukhi. Aham Na Shuddha Jnana Swarupaha. He is not saying that. When he is saying Aham Ajnaha, he is saying something opposite to Shuddha Jnana Swarupa, which is Atma. When he says Aham Dukhi, he is saying something opposite to Atma. But when he is saying Aham Asmi, he is not opposing Atma. He is indeed saying something which is akin to the Atma. Therefore, Atma as Sat is not unknown. We don't say it is known. Aparoksha. It is known means, okay, dekhao, it's not like that. It is not unknown. Atma as Sat is not unknown. Atma as Chit, the source of all knowledge, is unknown. Atma as Ananda is unknown. If you know Atma as Ananda, thus you are Jivan Mukta. If you know Atma as Chit and Ananda, you are Jivan Mukta. If you don't know Atma as Sat, then you don't exist. But you are existing. Therefore, Atma as Sat is known. Generally, the Adhyasa happens like this. If you know Idam and Shukti, Iyam Shukti, Shukti is dealing with Idam. So if you know the Idam aspect, that is the Samanya Jnana, and also the Vishesha Jnana, that means the Shukti Jnana, if both are there, if both are known, then there is no Adhyasa. That is Satchit Jnana only. But what happens is, you know partially and do not know fully, then Adhyasa happens. The Idamness is known, the Shuktiness is not known. That is withheld. So partial knowledge is the right situation for Adhyasa. Vishesha Jnanam is not there, Samanya Jnanam is there. And therefore you make that is enough. That is the very scope for Adhyasa. So the point is like this, Adhyasa Vyapti. You have to know a minimum just enough to make a mistake. Thoda bahut, you should know. Thoda to, you should know. A little, you should know. Then only you can make Adhyasa. That's why in a pitch dark situation, there will be no Adhyasa. Because even the Idam Jnana won't take place. And therefore, there is no Adhyasa. In full light, there is no Adhyasa. Because Idam, Iyam Shukti, this is Shukti. You should not say Idam and then add Shukti. Sriling Shabdam, you know, Iyam Shukti. So, then there is no Adhyasa. Therefore, Mandandhakara means partial light. How to call it? Mandandhakara? Dim light. So, you see, you know some and you fail to know the whole. Then it is the scope for Adhyasa. Now you apply it as such to Atma. Marvelous discussion, I tell you. Even I am happy with what I discussed. So you know this sat aspect of Atma without any doubt. Nanahamasmiti kaschit pratyeti Shankara. Nobody cognizes or understands that I do not exist. There is no such cognition. That kind of a cognition is not possible. Therefore, ahamasmi. That means you know Atma just enough to commit a mistake. Not enough to avoid mistake. Therefore, Abhyasa is there. Therefore, so Shankara doesn't say Atma is pratyaksha. He says Atma is not altogether unknown. It is not aparoksha. It is prasiddha. Indeed it is prasiddha. The sat aspect is prasiddha. That is the primary fact of a human being. Everything else is not a fact. I am a professor. It is not a fact. I am is a fact. I am a husband. I am is a fact. A husband is not a fact. That is the property, expression of the body, whatever. So like this, the primary fact is the reflection of Atma in all its glory, that existence of that existence. Unfortunately, the chit and ananda aspects are missed. Therefore, like idam is there, shukti is not there, therefore adhyasa happens. Sat is there, chit and ananda are not there, therefore adhyasa is happening. That is the entire spirit of that statement. Now you can look at it. Natavadayam ekantena avishayaha. Don't say that Atma is altogether unknown, because asmat pratyaya vishayatvat, the cognition I, that cognition I, it has Atma in it. Like the asmat pratyaya vishayatvat. I will explain it in another way. This is a pratiti or pratyaya. Pratyaya means cognition. This cognition is ever negated. But I cognition is never negated. I thought. I is also a thought. But part thought comes and goes. I thought, it remains. It never goes. In fact, it can be symbolically or in a model situation it can be represented as pot, thought, etc., gata, gata, pata, kudya, kusula, all these thoughts, they are like waves on the ocean. Whereas I thought is a deeper thing it is. It is there all the time, during the entire waking state it is there, and it associates with every thought. You cannot have a pot thought like thought without the flashing of I thought straight away associating with it. So I thought is always there as the substratum, not substratum, it is a substratum, undercurrent, yeah. That is what I was looking for. I thought is always there as the undercurrent for the entire sequence of thoughts which are continuously getting replaced one by the other. Therefore, I thought, that's why we say, this thought, that means the thought of the object, is bhajya pratyaya, a cognition which is negated, whereas I thought is abhajita pratyaya. It is a cognition that is never negated, because that is the existence of existence itself. And therefore, that abhajita, that is Atma. Therefore, Atma is encased in I thought. But how this encasement happened? Adhyasa. And what is the basis for that adhyasa? I told you, purva purva samskara, that infinite regression is always there. You cannot escape from that. Ajnana is a beginningless. That is always there. That helps us to wriggle out of some of these anyonyashraya situations. So, asmat pratyaya vishayatvat, he says, Ratna Prabhakara, asmat pratyaya is there. Asmat pratyaya is nothing but aham adhyasa, aham iti adhyasa. Aham itself is an adhyasa. I am the body is the latter adhyasa. Aham itself is adhyasa. And so that ahamadhyasa encases atma in it. But then that adhyasa, how it happened? Unless you have adhyasa, you cannot have the ground for another adhyasa. That we take it into infinite regression. And so anadi samskara pravaha is responsible for the ever-present I adhyasa, and that I adhyasa captures atma to enough extent that now there is anatma is superimposed on atma. This I thought, you know, I thought, what is this I thought? I thought is pratyagatmanaha ashodhitam rupam. Means you have to do shodhana. Shodhana means cleaning up. Suppose you have a copper vessel sitting in some corner for years together. Now you take out. How it will look like? So it is all black and with all kinds of impurities accumulated on the surface everywhere. This is called ashodhita. So now you do shodhana. So take some tamarind and some other rough powder and add water and start rubbing it. That is called shodhana. So shodhana karna padta hai. Vivek jnana, that is the shodhana. You have to go on doing shodhana. Tattadartha shodhana you have to do, tvampadartha shodhana you have to do. Then you will understand the meaning of tattvamasi. Without doing any shodhana, how anybody can understand tattvamasi? So shodhana has to be done. Okay, let us start the shodhana. I am this. No, this is how I can be this. This is a physical body, ever undergoing changes. So the physical body of yesterday is not here today. If you start describing like that, it will take a long time. So the physical body is such a changing thing. It is, the physical body can be compared to a situation. Suppose there is a small home constructed with say 5,000 bricks by putting one over the other. And suppose you just imagine, daily I take away 100 bricks without disturbing the structure. So take away one brick and put immediately another brick. So while taking away brick from this side, put the brick from that side. The structure remains intact. Okay? So all the bricks are red bricks. Under 5,000 bricks I have taken, took to make the room. And now I am replacing these red bricks with blue bricks, daily 100 bricks. The structure remains intact, nothing will happen to it. And within 15 days, the entire red house is replaced by the blue house. That is what this body is. Really? Can you believe even calcium, iron, magnesium, they get replaced altogether? Altogether they get replaced. The bone that was there, so this bone which was there 10 years back, that bone is not this bone. This is entirely new bone. 7 years it takes to replace the entire bone. That is how it is replaced. And this body which is ever changing, so how can I be this body? I am the, you see, all change presupposes a changeless background. Without changeless background there can never be change. Body is changing. That is the fact. And body doesn't know that it is changing. Body never knows. Because knowing is a thing. It is like the light illuminates. What the light illuminates is always different from the light itself. You cannot confuse the illuminated thing with the illuminating light. What the light illuminates is always different from the light itself. So, I am the one who knows all these changes, and therefore I am not the changing thing. I am not the body, the shodhana. You do like that. Then you arrive at the bare I am, stripped of all possible definitions. The bare I am. That bare I am, that I sense, even that is not pratyagatma. It is also pratyagatmanaha ashodhitam rupam. Then what is the shodhita rupa of pratyagatma? As I told you, Shuddha Samvite means pure. Means pure means utterly undifferentiated. Chet alertness. That is Shuddha Samvite. That is Pratyagatma. So even to get I, you need Adhyasa. But that Adhyasa is Anadi Adhyasa. And that provides the ground for further Adhyasas. Therefore, even I is a product of Adhyasa. Leave the technicalities aside. Even I is a product of Adhyasa. And I am the body identified person is altogether a product of Adhyasa. So how can you deny that there is Adhyasa is not there? I can put it in a slightly different way. I is there. This I is a granthi, is a knot. I is a knot. Aham granthi. This granthi, in this granthi, there is the Atma which is anidam. We call it anidam, non this. And there is idam in that Atma, in that I. There is always an idam. When you say I, there is an element of limitation in it. Right? What kind of limitation it could be? It could be space limitation or time limitation or body limitation or object-wise limitation. Space is idam. Time is idam. Object is idam. Therefore, this I is a awareness, that is the anidam, but it has the limitations of space, time and body, not very well defined, but they are there, therefore that is idam. And therefore I is a combination of or is a not of idam and anidam. Therefore the anidam aspect of that I provides the substratum for superimposition of the body. Therefore don't say that Atma is not available for superimposition. It is very much available. Therefore, Atma is avishaya, Atma is chakshusha grushyate, etc. They are glorious statements. There is no doubt about it. But that doesn't prevent adhyasa. Because Atma is experienced enough to commit a mistake. That enough experience, is enough anubhava of the Atma is there. Enough to commit a mistake. Okay. Bhamatikara has a paragraph here. He says like this, I felt that it is worth looking at. Satyam pratyagatma svayam prakashatvat avishayah. The Purvapakshi said Atma is avishaya and therefore cannot be the basis for the adhyasa. So Bhamati, oh my God. So Bhamatikara says, yes, what you say is true. The Shuddha Atma, the Shodhita Atma is a Swayam Prakasha and therefore it is not Vishaya. It must be Paraprakasha, then only it becomes Vishaya. Atma is Swayam Prakasha but it is not Vishaya. It is not Vishaya, agreed. Tathapi, avidya parikalpita, buddhi, manas, sharira, indriya avachedena, anavachinnopi avachinna iva, abhinnopi bhinna iva, akartapi karteva, abhoktapi bhokteva, avishayopi asmat pratyaya vishaya iva jiva bhava mapannaha avabhasate nabha iva ghata manika mallika dyavacheda bhedena. So Bhamatikara's style is considered one of the unique styles in Sanskrit prose. Tathapi, though Atma happens to be avishaya and it is not objectified, that is true, yet there is this buddhi, manaha, sharira, indriya. Where from these came? Atma is advitiya. Where from these things came? They are avidya parikalpita. So this anadi avidya is there. They present buddhi, manaha, sharira, etc. as anatmas before us. So these anatmas are presented on a platter by the ignorance. And with reference to these anatmas, starting from buddhi, manaha, sharira, indriya, so the Atma, though it is not conditioned really, but appears to be conditioned. Though it is not plural, appears to be plural. though it is not karta, appears to be karta, though it is not bhokta, appears to be bhokta, though it is not vishaya, appears to be encased in that bare I thought. Asmat pratyaya vishayaha, not exactly vishaya iva. That is the essence of jiva bhava. The status of being an individual is essentially this only. Therefore, avabhasate. So it is appearing like that. It is reflecting in the I thought, and that reflection is good enough to make all further downside adhyasa possible. An example is nabha iva. Now nabha, there is an adhyasa. Ghatakashaha is an adhyasa. Ghatakashaha, when you say in that adhyasa, the size of the pot is superimposed on space. Right? Suppose you say ghatakasha is small. Is ghata small or ghatakasha small? Is ghata small or akasha small? Ghata small. But when you say ghatakasha is small, you have put this smallness to akasha. And then, is there a tie between ghata and akasha? Not possible. Because ghata is savayava, it has parts. Whereas akasha is niravayava. Ghata is gross. Akasha is the most subtle. How can there be a tie? There is no tie. But though there is no tie or a granthi, it appears as though there is a granthi, ghata akasha. And then, though akasha is not vishaya, you cannot, akasha is not pratyaksha. You cannot see akasha. It is not available for perception. Ghata is available for perception. So, an unperceived apratyaksha akasha, akasha is not pratyaksha. So it is not vishaya to the eyesight, yet you are making adhyasa on that. Ghatakasha adhyasa is there. Therefore your vyapti is all wrong. The vyapti, finally I would say, the vyapti is like this. Ekasmin jnane adhisthana aropya yoho bhasamanata. That is the necessary and sufficient condition for adhyasa. That is enough, that is there, this condition is satisfied. In the adhyasa, I am the body. That is one cognition. In that cognition, I is there with all its glory of capturing the Atma's Satta aspect. And then body cognition is also there. There is an Aviveka adhyasa is there. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harih Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harih Om Tat Sat Shri Krishna Arpanamastu. Om. So the announcement for the next class, coming Saturday there is no class, because that day we have some program in